When I first visited Selma, Alabama, the mayoral election was one of the most important things going on. Because in the year 2000, it looked like Joe Smitherman was finally going to get out of office after having been mayor for nearly 35 years. Don't remember Joe? He was Selma's mayor back on March 7, 1965, when 500 nonviolent protesters were attacked by Alabama police after marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge for the right to vote. Those faint pops you hear are tear gas being shot at the crowd. And the thuds? Those are policemen's nightsticks coming down on the backs of the protesters. After the attacks were broadcast on national television, it came to be known as Bloody Sunday. And even though the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was passed largely due to the events in Selma, the city still didn't vote in a black mayor until the year 2000.
You know, in the 1870s, you had over 15,000 African Americans registered to vote in Dallas County alone. But by 1965, when Bloody Sunday occurred, there were only 300 African Americans registered to vote in Dallas County.
James Perkins served as Selma's first black mayor.
Things happened between those periods, between 1865 and 1965. You know, you had Jim Crow law to intervene and to interfere with the rights of people of color to vote.
8 years after Perkins was voted in, Dallas County voted for Barack Obama nearly 2-1. And for all the good an Obama presidency represents, Perkins warns that people must understand that the country's ills will not be solved when Obama takes office.
What happens, in my judgment, is there is an expectation, sometimes unrealistic, that one performs above and beyond the human ability to perform.
Perhaps few understand this better than Joanne Bland, who marched with Martin Luther King when she was 11 years old. To her, the country's problems are far too great for Obama to fix alone. But that doesn't diminish the symbolic importance of who he is and what he has achieved.
His being in the position he's in today is a direct result of what happened here. And the many of us who participated in this particular struggle feel it affirms that our struggle was not in vain.
When civil rights organizers came to Selma, they held meetings in Brown Chapel Church. 35 years later, Pastor James Jackson says that having a black president doesn't so much represent change for previous generations who lived through Jim Crow segregation, so much as it represents hope for those who did not.
Our young black boys and girls and all of us can dream. We've had those dreams, but now we see that those dreams can become a reality.
For Richie Jean Jackson, who was a close friend of Dr. King's, President Obama's win serves a higher purpose.
God sent Dr. King to perform a mission. I personally feel that Obama has been sent to take the next step in showing and making this country equal.
For some, however, the issue isn't about race at all, nor is it about equality.
Yes, my great-great-granddaddy owned slaves, but I wasn't there. And that's the way society was then, and we fought a war over it, and the issue was settled, and it's settled.
Polk Van Zandt is the rector at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Selma.
I think we have come a long, long, long way. Is there equality? No. But, you know, there's not equality in lots of different ways, not just African Americans.
Sitting on a Selma Park bench, looking out at the bridge that changed history, Austin Fitz, a retired professor at the University of Alabama, said that for all of the progressive thought in this country, there's still a ways to go.
Dr. King said once, quoting an elderly slave during Reconstruction, we ain't what we ought to be, and we ain't what we're gonna be, but thank God Almighty, we ain't what we was. And Selma's not what it was. It's a town I love and the town where I see progress and hope to see a lot more. And that's about it.
For Northgate Radio, I'm Ian Scher.